All right, 8:32 on the line with us. We go to the very busy Pintail and Coffee Newsmaker line. Bring in Steve Chasman. He's the executive director of LICAD, does a wonderful job. Long Island Council on Drug Dependency, Alcoholism, the whole thing. He is at the helm of it all. And we welcome him back to the show. Stephen, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Jay. Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
It is a pleasure. It's always tough circumstances, but, you know, you're the person to talk to this about, and that is, you know, the opioid epidemic. We talk about it all the time. In Nassau, you know, they have a whole task force in place, and they unraveled some things from a report. You know, getting to the root cause is the key and everything else. Talk about that.
Well, it was a task force that was put together in the late spring by Executive Curran, and it was chaired by Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder. And we worked, I'll be honest with you, we worked very diligently all summer. We wanted to look, even though fatal opioid overdoses are down, and thank God for that, it doesn't mean there's less sick people. So we've done a great job in reducing overdose deaths, but the objective of the task force was to really look at where the gaps in service were and putting an action plan together so that we could fill some of these gaps so that no Long Islander, no Nassau resident, no family falls through the cracks of service. So looking at a full spectrum, everything from education and prevention to access to treatment to emergency protocols, obviously diversion programs, diverting people away from incarceration and giving them an opportunity to access treatment for opiate dependence, and of course aftercare, what aftercare looks like, and being able to support individuals and families and communities that are struggling with substance use disorders. It was a comprehensive report. You know me, Jay, as I know you. We're the first to criticize if this wasn't effective, but I have to hand it to Executive Curran and Commissioner Ryder. They did an exceptional job in putting some really qualified people around the table to come up with a comprehensive report.
Since you and I speak about this all the time, and I have always said, you know, you've got to get these kids educated properly. I don't care what you need to do, more personnel, teachers, counselors, doesn't matter. You've got to examine the mental state of some of these kids and everything else. Home life, the whole thing. That's where it starts, okay? I want to see the billboards up, too. We talk about the billboards and the fentanyl.
10 years you've been talking about that, Jay.
How long have I been talking about this stuff? Just
probably
say no.
Nancy
Reagan in the 80s. Can I see something? It's all about messaging, okay? Yeah. Messaging. The more you message, the more you comprehend. It has to be out there in the streets, and it has to be inside the schools. That's where it all starts. It's educating these kids. Do it at kindergarten levels. I don't even care anymore.
Well, I'll be honest with you. We, LICAD speaks to 40,000 students a year in Nassau and Suffolk, 109 schools. They're a great, and we're one of many, education and prevention agencies doing evidence-based prevention models that are proven to deter substance use in adolescence, and it starts, as you said, in kindergarten. It is not the drug conversation K through sixth grade. It's communication skills. It's developing healthy coping strategies. It's learning to identify emotions. It's learning to be able to rely on others, building self-esteem. If we can do that rudimentary work, that foundational work, and integrate it in K through sixth, by junior high school and high school, maybe they won't have a need or a desire to self-medicate with pills and powders and potions, because it's not just opioids. It's alcohol. It's decriminalized marijuana and THC products. It's vaping nicotine, and we're seeing a national epidemic around fifth graders vaping nicotine, which is a stimulant. So the task force was very focused on getting to core or root issues. There are evidence-based prevention models that need to be implemented in every Long Island school across New York State and across the country, and we can possibly cut down on the demand for mind and mood-altering drugs.
With trying to make sure kids are tested in math and English, grades 3 through 8, you know, we're so in tune with Regents exams and everything else. You know, all this Common Core crap. You know, let's get to the root of it all, okay? What we really need to know and understand is the mindset of kids, and drive home the fact of this opioid crisis. That's where it starts. You hit them young. You find out. You educate, okay? That's what has been lacking, and that has to be corrected. And good job there by everybody in Nassau. I'll tell you, they got a good team there between the commissioner and the county executive. That's a good tandem right there.
Absolutely. And I tell you, Commissioner Ryder, when you looked around the table, and we met aggressively throughout the summer. We met multiple times, email exchanges, the exchange of ideas. You had law enforcement, you had legislators, you had treatment providers, you had school-based professionals, you had mental health professionals, you had educators. Obviously, you had some elected officials who want to introduce legislation. And everyone exchanged ideas. And quite frankly, Jay, you and I have been talking about it. That's how you stop healthcare epidemics. Everyone comes together, including journalists like yourself. We come together and we come up with a very robust and comprehensive plan to turn the corner on this. And let's look at modern history, whether it's the suicide rate among adolescents or adults, the homicide rate and what's going on with school shootings and workplace shootings. When you look at self-medication with the most powerful narcotics that the world has ever seen, and fentanyl and heroin, human beings are not coping well. Americans are not coping well. And you're seeing the breakdown. And all this at the height of a digital and technological revolution where many of us are moving at a pace and at a rate we've never really clocked. And we haven't, much like vaping, we haven't really seen the full implications of what it means to be wired up with cell phones and instant messaging and email and around-the-clock visuals. And we need to develop coping strategies and introduce them at a very young age. Otherwise, people will look for synthetic relief. So we're looking more at the etiology or the cause of how we found ourselves here in this substance use crisis. And hopefully, with education and prevention, with access to treatment, with support for people who are recovering from substance use disorders, and we just wrapped up September, which is National Recovery Month, there's 28 million people living in America in long-term recoveries from substance use disorders. Recovery is possible. But instead of plucking them out of the river one at a time, what if we can prevent what is, for some, a preventable illness called substance use disorder? So we were very pleased. We were honored to take part in this, like Ed was, in the opioid crisis and the action plan. And now we just have to implement this report, which I know Commissioner Ryder and Executive Curran are very interested in doing.
No question. And I like the fact, I was talking with Steve Chasman, like Ed. I like the fact also that people are taking note of the aftermath, okay? It's not just throwing an individual out in the street after you treat them with Narcan, okay? It's holding them there. It's stabilizing them for a couple of days to make sure they are aware of the issue, the problems, after the Narcan has been administered, okay? And monitoring these individuals who are struggling with these cravings, preventing relapses, monitoring it the right way. I like the fact that at least this report is noting that of these actions that should be taken here.
Well, we have to emerge out of this crisis with a greater understanding of the disease of substance use. So if you're treating cancer or diabetes or heart disease or depression, quite frankly, it is not a one and out. There is a continuum of care that would be offered to the individual for months or years to come to prevent a relapse, or as in cancer, if you're in remission, you'll go for follow-up for years to make sure you remain in remission. And if there's a resurgence of your cancer or your disease, you'll be reengaged in treatment, provided with the treatment modalities, and hopefully, you know, continue on. So we know what it takes to stop healthcare epidemics, and whether you're talking about HIV or cancer or substance, it's education and prevention to prevent the onset of a disease for those who are afflicted. It's access to treatment on demand, quality treatment, and insurance companies need to play with that too. And then, of course, for those who are in early recovery or remission, we want to continue them on that path. And if there's a setback, to reengage them and afford them the opportunity to get well again, and then to move on their path to recovery.
Steve Chasman, like that. And by the way, we'll give the substance abuse hotline, folks, 24/7, 631-979-1700. It's set up, you know, where you have good people there. They're looking to help those in need. I think it's a great line, 24/7. It's open. Steve does a great job with it all. Long Island Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. Before I let you go, you touched upon it a little bit. And that's this whole vaping thing. We have a kid who's thrown a lawsuit towards Jules Way. one of the lead manufacturers of some of these products. You know, to me, this was a recipe for disaster from way back. Never regulated properly. You knew this stuff was going to end up on the street. It has, causing a lot of deaths, THC and everything else we know. Quite frankly, no shock here. We have seen the pattern, Steve. Way back in time with the tobacco industry, I mentioned the big pharma and what's happening with this opioid crisis right now, never regulated properly. All of a sudden, somebody had an epiphany to throw some lawsuits by way of Johnson & Johnson, and here we go. So in essence, this was a disaster in the waiting, this whole vaping industry.
Well, you when you present it that way, Jay, you're 100% right. There is quite a market for mind and mood-altering substances that will allow individuals, including pre-adolescents, to self-medicate with nicotine. This is why we fought against the legalization of marijuana. Obviously, the liquor industry. You're talking to a healthcare professional, so I'm not interested in legal or illegal. We're interested only in what's healthy and unhealthy. But we're getting calls from principals across Long Island. Again, we speak to 40,000 students, where you have fifth graders going through three pods of liquid nicotine. Nicotine is a stimulant. So why are fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh graders, I mean, you're talking about 11, 12-year-olds, why are they abusing nicotine at a rate we've never before seen? Could it be that they feel like they can't keep up? Let alone the health implications, this has not been studied in the long term. But whether it's nicotine, whether it's opiates, whether it's alcohol, whether it's marijuana or THC products, people are looking to products of detriment to self-medicate for a whole host of reasons. And that's why we need to drill down and get to the etiology why young people and adults, quite frankly, feel like they can't keep up with their own lives. So those evidence-based prevention models are all steeped in coping strategies for stress and anxiety, building self-esteem, giving them communication skills to ask for what they need, and obviously supporting them to make healthy choices. So we have our work cut out for us. LICAD's been around for 64 years for Long Islanders. We'll continue to do it. That 24-hour line, Jay, thank you. That's a live LICAD clinician, 24 hours a day. If you know someone struggling, give us a call.
On the other side of things, there is a drug hotline 24/7. I like to repeat this stuff. Listen, there's plenty of activity. I see it on the streets, okay? It's broad daylight. If you suspect any type of drug activity, ladies and gentlemen, in your neighborhood, make a call, all right? You can remain anonymous the whole nine yards, 631-852-NARC. That's 631-852-6272. Important stuff there, too, as well, Steve. Listen, a pleasure. Keep doing the work you do, okay?
Thank you, Jay. Thanks for having us on. And one day we won't have to talk. We're optimistic.